The Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 4th chapter. When evening had come, Jesus said to the disciples, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat, just as he was. Other boats were with him. A great windstorm arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so that the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushions. And they woke him up and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" He woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased and there was a dead calm. He said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" And they were filled with great awe and said to one another, "Who then is this that even the wind and the sea obey him?" The Gospel of the Lord. Brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have you ever wondered why it is that faith usually only begins after the boat starts rocking? A story is told that during a flight between New York and Chicago, an airline captain made this announcement over the plane's intercom. "Our number 4 engine has just been shut off because of mechanical trouble. There is nothing to worry about, however. We can still finish the flight with just 3 engines. And besides, you will be reassured to know that we have 4 bishops on board." An 86-year-old woman called the flight attendant and said, "Would you please tell the captain that I would rather have 4 engines and 3 bishops?" "Have you still no faith?" said Jesus to the disciples in the boat with him. "Have you still no faith?" We can only imagine what kind of things the disciples have seen Jesus do by this point in his ministry. For Jesus to say, "Have you still no faith?" And yet, I think it's kind of a severe chastisement, don't you? For Jesus to be making of those very wet disciples. What else could they have thought? Several of the group were seasoned fishermen who knew their boat and they knew the lake. In fact, those who were fishermen would have known their boat and that lake, and they would have known about the weather conditions for far longer than they had known Jesus. The boat was already taking on water in that awful storm. "For heaven's sakes, boys, if it looks like Jesus is going to sleep right through this, what harm could it do to wake him up and fill him in on the situation at hand?" In other parts of the Bible, we read that Jesus did not chastise the ones who came to him for help. Rather, more often than not, his words were, "Your faith has made you well." People were blessed for coming to him in their distress. People were healed for coming to him in their infirmities. People were forgiven for coming to him in their sinfulness. But these disciples were chastised for their lack of faith. And if Jesus could be so harsh with those closest to him, if Jesus could seem so upset by their lack of faith, these words from the fourth chapter of Mark can't be doing much for those of us who would claim mere everyday run-of-the-mill faith. Our Old Testament lesson from Job this morning is not so very different in that regard. For all of Job's suffering, for all of Job's cries for help, cries for justice, cries for some kind of intervention from God, it's not until the 38th chapter of the 40-chapter book of Job that Job finally hears a word from God. And even then, he hears first not words of comfort, but chastisement. He's lost so much. And much would eventually be restored. But the first word he hears from God were words meant to make him think seriously about his faith. On one level, these texts seem a little out of step with what we have come to know and understand the love of God to be about. From this gospel text, we can take great comfort in knowing that Jesus was able to and eventually did command the storm to stop and did so with just a word. And the word isn't exactly what it's printed in the NRSV. The word is more like, "Shut up, storm." But we know the power of Jesus that resides in just a word. Why did the disciples receive treatment different than those of new converts? Or have you ever wondered how long he might have waited to still that storm had the disciples not awakened him? These are questions which in some ways reflect my own faith or lack thereof. Are they in some ways your questions too? I've seen many events in the lives of members of this congregation which have displayed great faith that God's will be done in the end. But I think it's also common for most of us to have the reaction the disciples had when the storms come. "Lord, wake up. Do you see what's going on here? Lord, could you help us out a little bit?" If we're honest with ourselves, our first reaction to the storms of life isn't always faith. And that's perhaps why we're here together Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, to remind ourselves, "Oh yeah, God's got this." But think about it. Have you ever been jolted wide awake by a bolt of thunder and lightning? Or by a telephone ring? And your eyes fly wide open and your heart starts pounding? To these events in the night, even the most faithful of us, I think, still respond, at least initially, with fear. Sometimes, as people of faith, even, it doesn't seem like enough to be in the boat with Jesus. When the storms come, we want to know what he's going to do about it. When the storms come, we want to know that we can cry out and wake up Jesus and trust that he will rescue us, that he will love us in such a way as to not be angered when wakened, but will come running to us like a parent to a scared child. I think we all, in some ways, play the what-if games with our own lives and with the lives of people around us. What if this would have happened instead of that? Would the outcome have been different? Sometimes I do that with Bible stories. If those disciples would have just curled up on the cushion and gone to sleep with Jesus, as soon as they got in the boat, would there have even been a storm? We'll never know. Or if the disciples would have stayed awake and sung hymns of praise through the storm, would the boat have still taken on water? We can't know that either. We could play what-ifs all day. But what we need to focus on is what we do know. What do we know? We know that the disciples in the boat that night knew that Jesus was their only chance at life. And we know that when the disciples asked Jesus to help them, he did. We know that had there not been a storm, the disciples might never have known that Jesus could silence one. We know that God really did hear Job, all 30-some chapters of complaint. God heard them. And that Job's joy was finally restored to him. If you're a member of this congregation, you've read my story. My joy has been restored. And you all are part of my joy. It's real. We know the power of God. We just don't know the timing of God. But we know that our faith is not always what God would expect of us, and our praise of God can never be enough to match what God has done for us. But we know that we don't need to fear coming to God in our distress. We know that the Lord God created heaven and earth and has dominion over the powers in it. We know that Jesus died for us, not because we were righteous, but because we were sinners. We know that Jesus rose again from the dead, forever conquering the final effect of death for those who believe in him. And we know that we are children of God. We are a new creation, washed clean and forgiven in the waters of our baptism. And so despite all the unknowns, that's really quite a lot for us to know and to be certain of. And so what does this say about the storms which come into our lives? We know that Jesus is already in the boat with us. But in light of the terrible things that happened in Charleston this week, the shootings in a church, motivated by hate, motivated by racism, I need to point out to us that if we do believe that Jesus is in the boat with us during our storms, we have to also believe that that boat is not our personal dinghy or personal yacht to steer God in our direction. If we believe Jesus is in the boat with us during our storms, know that the boat is not segregated. There is no our boat. There is no their boat. Because the boat is God's. We are all in the same boat. And if we believe that Jesus is in the boat with us during our storms, we also have to live like we believe that this is God's boat. And there is no more us or them. God created all humanity. Jesus died for the sins of the world. It is ours to be reconciling, to be loving, to be joining hands, to be lifting up, not pointing fingers. Jesus is in the boat and able to calm the storms. Did you see the responses of the survivors in Charleston? They're having church this morning. They're claiming the power of God over evil. They're claiming the power of love. Love, the most powerful force on the planet. Only by the power of the Holy Spirit and the grace of God. Can people who've been through that forgive and love? May that be the power and the spirit that continues to guide and lift up and lead this congregation. Jesus is in the boat with you. Have no doubt about that whatsoever. But also know that it's a great big boat. It's God's boat. May the peace of Christ that passes all understanding keep our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.